Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Well, the young stars couldn't get it done, so we had to bring in the PTOs. Dylan and Chris from Armchair GM Podcast, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. Let's get into it. So, Dylan. Was it doom and gloom in Penticton?
I don't think it's doom and gloom. I mean, it's just the Young Stars game. It's not, I mean, of course they want to win the games and all that type of stuff, but it's more to see what you have and stuff like that. You know, it's, you know, most of these guys have never played together before. You know, the other team's guys haven't really played before either for the most part. So there's that, but it's whatever, you know. I watched a couple of the games. I was really impressed with some parts, not impressed with any with others. We'll get into that. Did you watch any of it?
I caught bits in between family outings, gatherings, that sort of thing.
Fair enough.
Mostly watching on my phone over in the corner, trying to sneak a peek, you know.
Fair enough. The games were generally while I was trying to sleep before I have to go to work because midnight's a ridiculous time to work, but that is what it is.
I hear that is the best time to pick up a John anyways. So, I mean, you have a schedule, you got to keep to it.
Yeah, no wonder I'm so broke.
Right.
anyways, I watched the games, and for anyone that watched the games, you know, Dustin Wolf stole the show in the first two games. At least they played Chechelev the third game, but the first two games, Dustin Wolf stole the show for the Flames. He was outstanding, very, very good. And what I was most impressed with was not even his reflexes and shit like that, but his tracking, and like, which is actually funnily enough, something that we've talked about with Vladar. Sometimes Vladar's positioning is great, but he just has no fucking idea where the puck is. It just hits him. But Dustin Wolf seems to always know where the puck is, and also his rebound direction. So he wasn't putting too many rebounds out front. They're like, any rebound that had to happen was going into the corner.
Yeah,
that's I was really impressed with that.
Goalies that are smaller than league average, that's kind of how they have to play, right?
Yeah.
If you're big like Vladar, you can be, you know, somewhat out of position and not where the puck, you're not know where the puck is. It's likely going to hit you, right? Mm-hmm. Where somebody like Wolf has to know where that puck is because he does not take up very much of that net.
Yeah. Kiprusoff was like that too. His tracking was great.
I mean, obviously, we're not comparing Wolf to Kiprusoff.
No.
But
But no, I'm not. You know me, tempering expectations with young players, especially goalies, is pretty key. Otherwise, you're just expecting something like, I expect him to be an NHL goalie, but I'm not going to go out here and say, oh, he's going to be our starter next year, because that's just fucking stupid.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he, 100%. I think he's got an NHL job eventually.
I believe so. All the signs are looking good. You know, as long as he keeps working on his development, there's no reason why he can't make, you know, the NHL in, you know, 2 years. I'll say 2 years.
Absolutely.
You know, as a backup and see what the kid's got on the go. I mean, he's uber talented, which is great. But we've had high expectations with goalies in our system for many years now. And tell you what, it's been.
Should we go through a list or should we skip it?
No, I don't need to relive any of it, actually.
No. Okay. Okay.
Starting with
just saying, John Gillies didn't play too horrible for New Jersey last year, but also not very good.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's right.
Yeah. Anyways,
so with that on the tournament in Penticton, we had to bring in we brought in three PTOs, one of which I know you and I both kind of were hoping that we were going to sign the guy anyways as you know our seventh defenseman in Michael Stone. You know, he just keeps proving year after year that he has tremendous value, and signing these one-year $1 million contracts are, you know what? I love it, because come playoffs, when your top one of your top defensemen goes down and Michael Stone can jump into the games and not skip a beat and look like he's been there all year, why not?
You know? Yeah, that's what you need. I mean, he's not signed yet, but I feel like it's coming, especially considering the media thing they did in Vegas a couple days ago. They had they take the pictures with the players and spotlights and all that type of nonsense there, and they had Stone in a Flames jersey there. So I was kind of like, huh, that's interesting.
Well, I mean, he's been skating with the team. He's part of the team, right?
Yeah.
So if they can get a deal done, you know, which I don't see why not. You know, his last three contracts have been $700,000, $700,000, and $750,000. So clearly, very team friendly, and it kind of all stems from his buyout contract, right? So he had money coming to him every year up until last year, so it's not like it was a great need for money, but you can tell he still has a great love for the game, and clearly the players like playing with him and like being around him,
and he likes the city, and his family is, you know, built a life here and doesn't want to leave, from what it seems.
Yeah exactly You know, I mean, obviously we don't expect him to be in the top four, or five for that matter. But
I think he's a top four defenseman on certain teams, top five defenseman on many teams, but he's our seventh. So, but he would be if he signed.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, he's not huge on points or anything like that. He's just a fantastic stay-at-home defenseman.
Rip bombs.
I love his slap shot. You know, we've been talking about it for a few years now that, you know,
yeah,
why doesn't he get more power play time?
When he's there, he should. And he got a couple of looks last year, and like, I can't remember who blocked some guy blocked like four of his shots on one penalty kill. Right. And then he just like sidestepped the guy and shot again and scored. And it was just like, that guy just did a whole bunch of work for nothing.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he played 11 games last season during the regular season, had one power play goal and one power play assist. Yeah. So, I mean, he's getting a little bit of love there, which is great, well deserved in my opinion. Always love me some Stone on the back end. Yeah, he's a great PTO in my opinion.
Me too. And I feel like there's, I know that the players are all, you know, in Calgary for camp and all that type of stuff. And it kind of makes a trade not seem very likely, but between that and some of the other PTOs we got, which we'll talk about in a second here, it kind of seems like there could be something happening because currently there's not a whole bunch of space for Stone or for that case, Sonny Milano, who we'll talk about next.
Sonny Milano, coming off a career year playing with one of the most highly anticipated rookies of the NHL. Whew. Before that, third liner.
Yep. That's what he is, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. You know,
not at all.
As long as you're not expecting, you know, somebody in, you know, we've had lots of guys on our team who people have been like, oh, this guy's supposed to play with Monahan and Gaudreau. And it's like, no, this guy is a fucking career third liner. So let's not expect 80 points out of him. Let's expect 30 points out of him.
Yeah. I mean, he's 26 years old. You know, career or over his career, he has 81 points in 197 games.
Yeah.
He is what he is.
Yeah.
My only hope is that there isn't any consideration on paying a guy over one decent season, right?
Anyways, I'd be okay with like 1.2 maybe for him, something like that, one year, just as a try it. But also, like, that's not a position we need filled, but. At the same time, the way I look at PTOs is these guys have to work their way into the lineup. They have to work their way into getting a contract. So they have to outwork and be better than all of the guys who are already, or several of the guys who are already under contract.
Yeah.
And if he does that, then why not fucking give him a contract?
Yeah, no, agreed. You know, right. if he busts his ass and does what's expected in training camp, then sure. You know, if he wins a spot, absolutely pay him the 1-2. I agree with the 1-2, which is a $500,000 pay decrease from what he had the last two seasons. But you know what? Quite frankly, there needs to be more. You know, last year, you know, he was injured. Do you remember what his injury was last year?
Milano?
Yeah.
I don't
even know if it was an injury, but he only played 6 games.
Sonny Milano.
Yeah.
Really? I thought he played the year before.
The 2021 season, he only played 6 games.
Yeah, okay. I was like, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, cuz I know he was he played a lot of games with Zegras last year.
Yeah, he played 66 games last year with 34 points, 14 goals, 20 assists. Yeah.
Yeah, so third line minutes or third line numbers.
Yeah, and even like Zegras was what, second line?
Yeah, they were playing second line minutes. Yeah. And Zegras is a phenom of, you know, between the legs, lacrosse and all that type of stuff fame, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, and Milano is used to, you know, 13 to 15 minutes a game. Sounds like a great third liner, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The only problem is we have lots of those.
And that's the thing. What we need on our team is a first liner to bump Mangiapane and Toffoli down to where they're supposed to be, where they fit the best.
That's right.
Second instead of line. Trying to put a second or third liner on the top line.
Yeah.
That's my whole thing. But whatever. I mean, again, if he outworks, you know, Dubé or whoever else might be on that spot or Lewis or whoever, then, and he earns himself a, you know, a fourth or third line spot, then I wouldn't hate it.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. You know, it is what it is. Obviously, with training camp coming in, we need more competition. Do we play a split squad game this year? I don't know that we do.
I'm not sure. I haven't actually looked at the preseason thing, but usually they do, but I'm not sure if they do this year.
Yeah.
But Cody Eakin is the other guy on PTO.
We do play one on September 25th against the Canucks.
Okay, so you need two full rosters for that, basically.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. And, you know, Stone makes sense, too, because we don't really have that many, you know, enough defense, right? Like, to play, to have two full teams.
Right.
But, yeah, as far as Cody Eakin's concerned, I don't think he's going to get a contract. Again, if he outworks fucking Kevin Rooney, then he outworks Kevin Rooney, and that's fine. Right. But I also kind of see this as, you know, remember that year Versteeg had a professional tryout with the Oilers and ended up signing with us?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Eakin's going to have a tryout with us and sign somewhere else, because there's just not a whole shit ton of room for him, and he probably wants to play and not be sitting for most of the year.
Yeah, I mean, he's 31 years old, so he still has game left in his career. I would think. I mean, there's nothing wrong with his third line game, but again, it's just we've got this logjam of third liners or bottom six, I'll call them. In our system. So yeah, I agree. I can't see him getting a contract. If he takes one away from somebody that has one, great.
Yeah. You know, and like Milano's a playmaker, right? Like he's more of a third line scorer, whereas Egan's like a face off specialist, that, you know, guy you might want to have playing defense, even though he's got a pretty horrific plus minus career rating. But at the same time, you know, you've got, like, to me, the kind of the spot that a Cody Eakin would have to take would be Lewis or Rooney, and that's it.
Yeah.
Whereas Milano is more of a, you know, Dubé type of a,
yeah,
you know, somebody you want to pitch in offensively a little bit and also be pretty okay on the other end of the ice.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, frankly, my personal opinion, I'd rather have Lewis on my team than Eakin, but.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Me too.
We'll see.
I thought Lewis had a very, very strong last half of the season, maybe three quarters even of the season. He had a pretty rough start, but then he started playing pretty good. And, you know, I've heard lots of people shitting on the fact that we picked him up again, and I was just like, he was a very good, very good penalty killer for us, and he was really good for us in the playoffs as well.
Absolutely. He was one of maybe three to four players that really stood out in my opinion for the entirety of our postseason last year.
Him and Backlund and
Gaudreau,
maybe?
You know, I mean, obviously the first series, Johnny really stood out. Tkachuk stood out for all the wrong reasons in the first series. And then, of course, Johnny really stood out in that last game against Edmonton there at the end of the game.
At the very end of it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, no, I mean, Lewis really, I mean, he was solid.
Yeah.
Right, through the whole thing. He was very consistent, picked up some points, and did everything asked of him in his 200-foot game that he's reasonably good at.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Shall we take a break and hear a word from DraftKings?
DraftKings. Yeah, let's do it.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The NFL action is in full swing here at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. We're talking touchdowns, big plays, and even bigger wins. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. If that's not enough, everyone can boost their winnings with DraftKings stepped-up same-game parlays. Right now, for every leg you add, you can boost your winnings up to 100%. With payouts bigger than ever, why bet on football anywhere else? To make things even sweeter, you can throw down on stepped-up same-game parlays once per game day, all season long. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN to get $200 in free bets if your team wins when you place a $5 bet on any football game. That's code THPN. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and some restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
So there was one more thing that happened the other day that we don't really have the official word yet, but according, you know, generally when you have everybody from Elliot Friedman to Eric Francis, for fuck's sakes, and Pat Steinberg, and, you know, a lot of people are saying that the Flames have Brett Ritchie already signed, but we haven't heard the actual contract yet. Like it's not official. So don't know, but I think, again, a lot of people are shitting on the idea that this, you know, why would we bring Ritchie back at 800K, which is what it's supposed to be, you know, 800K times 1 year. And for me, and I think you feel the same way, but if you want to talk about it, you can. Having somebody who can punch faces and honestly isn't a bad fourth liner at $50,000 more than league minimum is not a big deal to me. He can sit for several games. He can come in, you know, having somebody to cover if Lucic goes down or gets moved or something like that is very important as well. So I don't hate it. And I'd much rather him be a Flame than an Oiler, which was the other option. So,
well, that's right. Because, you know, if he signs with another team, there's going to be that stick up the ass mantra, and he's going to be coming in trying to hit everything that moves, trying to fight anybody that will potentially go.
Yeah.
And not really interested in losing any of our guys in the penalty box for the likes of Brett Ritchie.
Yeah.
But that being said, I mean, aside from his extreme lack of production as far as points go, I like how he plays the game as far as physicality. And I mean, he's certainly not afraid to drop the gloves with, you know, anybody that I've seen.
Yeah.
So, you know, at $800,000, if that actually ends up being the case, so be it.
Yeah. No, as long as it's like, you know, sub 1 million for him, I'm
absolutely
perfectly happy with that.
Yeah. Last year he was at 900,000. So, I mean, drop him down a little bit because, I mean, obviously if you play 41 games and get 4 points, you're just not going to be making the same. You're going to have to come down a little bit. That's just the way it is. So,
and you see, that's a bottom six role I think that we need filled. Right?
Somebody with toughness, right?
We don't need the bottom six face-off guy or whatever. You know, we need the bottom six. You know, we have Luch, but we need backup for Luch. You know, should he go down, you know, he's aging or whatever. That's the way I look at it. But and Richie's not going to play all the games. You know, he never does. He's going to sit in the press box half the time. And also, from what I was hearing, it's a two-way deal, so you could save money by sending him down.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that is what it is. I wanted to bring it back to prospect camp a little bit because I touched on Wolf there. You know, obviously he had a great camp, but there was a couple of other guys who really impressed me, as well as some guys who didn't impress me that I was excited for. And let's start off with the negative. I know you were saying this about Peltier without even really seeing it, but I like, obviously, like most people were paying pretty high attention to Jacob Pelche, and he went off on a couple breakaways and played pretty good on the PK. I'll give him that. But he got knocked off the puck in against kids, mm-hmm. like really fucking fast. Like he touched the puck for 1 or 2 seconds and got knocked off the puck several times. It was very noticeable. I still think he's got a lot of potential.
Yeah.
But I think another year in the AHL and maybe some time in the gym could help him out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we already have two guys on our roster in the NHL that are similar to that style, where they get pushed off the puck too easily for my likings.
Yeah, and people that watch a lot of Stockton games, I know you're talking about Dubé and Mangiapane, right?
That's exactly the two names that came to my mind. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what people have been, you know, people who watched lots of Stockton games mm-hmm. last year. I only watched a handful, but a lot of them are saying that he kind of projects out to be kind of a Mangiapane-ish type player.
Yep.
And I think we've got, like you said, we've got two guys who get knocked off the puck easy. So let's not add another one quite yet and hope that he can develop in the AHL a little better.
Yep. Absolutely. The smaller guys coming into the league obviously have, you know, a pretty tremendous weight on their shoulders, right? I mean, the league is big, the league is tough. So if you're not big, you sure as fuck better be tough.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
I couldn't agree more.
You know, you have to be that. And, you know, hopefully he gets to that level. That'd be great. And then he can come in and show us what he's made of.
Yeah. I mean, nobody else really stood out for like bad reasons for me. And honestly, Pelche wasn't bad. He just wasn't, you know, he was supposed to be the guy on our team who stood out, you know, and he stood out for not great reasons a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to switch it over to some of the guys who really impressed me. And Connor Zary, and not even just in his play, which I'll get to in a second, but he looks like he put on, you know, the good kind of weight. And he sounds like he's matured a lot, and he sounds like he's really ready to go. And he's like his game was really good. He played heavy. He won faceoffs. He, I know he projects out to be kind of a second or third line center, and that's what you want from your second, third line center. You know, heavy game. He was pretty solid defensively. You know, the team couldn't score a goal to save their life, but he seemed to be all over, you know, driving the net. I noticed a couple times he drove the net pretty good. And yeah, I was quite impressed with Zary, especially after losing half a season
development in the 2021 season, right? Because, yeah, he only played 9 games that year. Last year, he played 53 with 25 points. He is just 20.
Exactly.
So, I mean, obviously I'm not expecting him to make the roster this year. But
oh, me neither. No.
Like if he's putting in the work, then awesome. You know, that's really all you can ask for.
Yep.
You know,
no.
Same with Jacob, right? Like if he puts in the work, because he's another one. He's not, you know, he's played one year in the AHL.
Exactly.
So I mean, he's got years. He's 21 years old. You know, did mm-hmm. he? You know, he had, you know, basically point per game season in his first year of the AHL. So do one more of those and come on up. You know, get ready to play with the big boys and let's see what you got, right?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Those guys, you know, they've another year, 2, 3 in the AHL full time, getting, you know, top 6 top line minutes. Probably do them wonders, do their confidence wonders. you know, maybe the odd call up to see what they got. If we That's run right. out of players or whatever, would be just fine with me. Or if things get stale and we need youth injection or whatever, that would be perfectly fine. But
well, and having them in Calgary so Daryl can actually, you know, on an off night can go and watch them play and do his own scouting live, right?
Yeah. I think
that'll be huge.
Yeah. Speaking of huge, did you notice Adam Klapka at all in the games that you did watch?
I did. In the game against Edmonton, I noticed a couple of interesting plays in the corner. He seems extremely strong.
You'd hope so. He's playing against kids and he's 6'7".
Yeah, I was watching him push. I have no idea who he was pushing around on Edmonton, but it was I'm literally playing cards with my wife and daughter, and I've got my phone set up there, to which my wife was giving me help because, you know, it's family game night, and I'm watching hockey because
I'll that's be fair. That's fair. I mean, the fact that you're watching hockey on family game night is fair.
Well, fuck. I mean, the season's just getting to us, so I mean, I will not take shit from you on this.
Don't tell her I said that.
I mean, it's been recorded, so she's gonna watch it. She doesn't watch the show. She doesn't give a damn. I remember I picked up my cards and I looked at my phone and I went fuck, right? And she goes, pardon? I went, yeah, these are some nice looking cards. Just totally tried to just play it off. But yeah, he just manhandled the guy in the corner. And I'm just like, Jesus, this is what I want, right?
Yeah.
You know, as an ex-defensive player and a guy that just, I'm a huge defensive person. I love how stay-at-home defensemen kick ass and play their game.
Yeah.
I'm a huge, huge fan of that style.
Yeah. So he's not a defenseman.
No, I know.
Yeah. But okay. Yeah. But yeah, he's still, I mean,
but he's got that size, and that's how he plays, in my opinion. Like he comes back on the play hard.
Oh
is,
yeah.
Which is nice. And
you don't expect somebody who's that large. I think he's like 230 or something like that. I think he's like 228 and he's 6'7". And
yeah.
You don't expect somebody like that to be very fast. You kind of expect them to be slow.
Yeah.
And I was really, really impressed with his speed.
Yeah.
Like he looked like he was quite quick. Playing with, you know, these kids, the one thing that these kids have is they're fast.
Yeah.
Right. Most of them are pretty quick. So I was really impressed with that. And his net, like, his corners, like you were saying, and board play seemed really good. Mm-hmm. And his net front play was just superb. He, every time his line got out on the ice and in the offensive zone, he'd park him, like second they got in the zone, he'd skate directly to the front of the net, get in between the defender and the goalie and just stand there.
Yeah.
And just push people around and stand there. And it was fantastic. It was great to watch. It's something you want, like, and I'm not saying he's an NHL player because he's not yet. He could eventually be, but he's, if we had a guy who was doing that against Dallas, that would have been a 4-game series.
Yeah, for sure.
But Walker Dewar also impressed me very much. You know, he's a guy who could easily play on our fourth line if we needed him to.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how he played in the Young Stars game. Very good. One of the standouts. He's an NHL ready player, but there's no real spot for him on the squad right now, especially with Lucic and possibly Richie. But I wouldn't hate him being on there. The last player I wanted to touch on was Jeremy Poirier. Did you watch him at all?
I didn't really notice him in the limited parts of the games that I watched. I didn't really notice him at all.
Okay. So for those of you who don't know, he was our third round pick two drafts ago. And he actually fell his ranking in that draft. He was at some points in the season at the beginning of the year, he was a top 10 pick, and he fell to the third round to us. And the reason, the main reason he fell to the third round is because a lack of defense. He's a defenseman, and he was great offensively. He played for, played in the queue with Peltier on the same team. And his defense was shit, honestly. And his offense was very good, but he's a defenseman and people were worried about that. So he fell. And I was watching that specifically, and I was really impressed with the strides he seemed to take defensively. Mm-hmm. He seemed obviously not perfect or anything like that, but he seemed to, like, he had worked on his defense. And that was kind of the scouting report going in, is he spent all last year after getting drafted really working on his defense. And you could tell because he was using his speed, not just like Shillington uses his speed. He was using his speed to get back and break up plays and get in the proper defensive position and stuff like that. His offense still looked great on the power play and stuff like that. He got a nice assist on the power play that I saw. Other than that, kind of nothing as far as production, but very good looking power play with him on the ice.
Well, and if he's gonna start producing in a 200-foot level, he'll find himself on the roster quicker.
Oh, 100%.
You know, like one-dimensional players, you know, generally either have to be elite at what you're doing if you're one-dimensional,
yeah,
or be, you know, all dimensions, and then you're gonna find yourself a spot on the roster. Next, like, not this year coming, like this year as in like a week from now is when the preseason starts, or less than. This is awesome. I'm so excited. So I mean, I think another year is going to do him wonders, and let him keep building on his strengths and continuing on, and I think he'll push for an actual spot next year.
That's quite possible. And one thing that's really good too is him and Jan Kuznetsov, who's I didn't notice too much. I noticed him in camp last year, but I didn't really notice him in the rookie games this year. But they've been a pair all last season. They were a pair in the queue. And they're both, you know, Calgary prospects. One of them is an offensive defenseman, and the other one is a stay-at-home defensive defenseman.
Right.
And if those guys can kind of develop at a similar level and become, you know, an NHL pair at some point, the pairs like that generally have great synergy. And, you know, as long as they both work out, which, you know, fair, I think that's a long shot.
It is,
but but at the same time, you know, there's always that off chance that you can have a pair kind of come up through the organization like that and become very good together as an NHL pair. And that would be great, because I can't remember last time that happened to us.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. I think, are they both playing in for the Wranglers this year?
Yep.
Good.
Yep.
Good. Yeah. No, that's good. I'm also excited to be able to watch some AHL games in Calgary this year as well.
Yeah. I think they're going to be televised more, which I'm excited for, because that was the main reason. You know, it's hard to find a stream for AHL games sometimes.
Yeah.
But if they're being televised, I'm a lot more likely to just watch them, right? Yeah. So
yeah, absolutely. I mean, if nothing else, I would imagine they're going to get a lot of streams on Calgary Flames TV, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, I hope so.
Because I mean, their gear is going to be set up anyway, so
I think, as well.
Yeah, might as well promote it as much as you can. Yeah. I think that'll be good. It'll be nice to be able to watch them often. You know, I watched 100%. A number of games last year. I kind of found some streams for it. I almost paid for the actual full season package, but I just couldn't commit my time to it.
It's a lot of time. Like, I like watching games of different teams too, not just the Flames.
Right.
But it's really hard as you grow older to, like, when I was younger, I'd be able to watch all the hockey I wanted. But as you grow older, it's kind of harder to watch, you know, yeah, every single game. Like, I usually still try to in the playoffs, but I can't. It's hard.
Yeah.
So even if you're just trying to watch one AHL team and one NHL team, it's hard to get that much time on your hands.
That's 100% accurate. It's 100% accurate. Life is busy.
That it is.
The you know, some of, you know, I've got a family that we do quite a bit together. Thankfully, my wife allows me. I say allow. We've come to a mutual agreement that my 82 season is mine. So, and because I come home and I've got my man cave and I watch it here if I'm not at the dome. So, she's normally okay with that, because I'm not out and about.
Yeah.
You know, as when my kids were younger, you know, I was always home and putting them to bed. And that was back when I had cable years ago. And so I would record the game and then put the kids to bed and come and start, and which was great because I can fast forward commercials. It was fantastic. I had all the time in the world for that.
Yeah. Well, it was not too much to talk about.
Nope.
Since last we spoke, but there it is. A little bit about training camp, a little bit about prospect camp, and some PTOs. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Let us know what you think about the prospects you saw at prospect camp, if you were watching, in the comment section below. And
just like that.
Just like that.
Thanks for watching, everybody. Cheers.